We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Trubisky awaits the snap, takes it, four-man rush. Pocket's clean, now he starts to dodge and leave the pocket, running left. Backs up and around the 11-yard line. He was going to go right up the numbers, and he decided to loop back. He might have been able to pick up the first down to the nine.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely easier to stay in the press box. I just was trying to pick up the first, didn't. Guy made a good tackle. Watch it on film. I'm just out there trying to trust my instincts and find the opening. He made a good play, and I didn't get it.
That's one way to describe it, Mitch Trubisky. Another way is a famous writer once said, might have been making a business decision on that third down rush attempt where I don't know what Mitch Trubisky was doing, but the good news is it didn't end up mattering all that much as the Bears wound up winning the contest yesterday 24-20. But yeah, was easy to see from the press box, was also easy to see on the probably six or seven different replays they showed on the game of, oh, could have ran ahead for the first down and instead darted backwards and towards the sideline and didn't end up at a first down, and the Bears ended up kicking a field goal instead of getting 7 points there instead. Welcome back in Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. It's Nick Shepkowski and Arthur Arkish with you up until 9 o'clock today. That's when Julie DeCaro and Peggy Kaczynski are going to be in, so we'll talk to them. We'll transition with them here towards the end of this hour. But yes, of all the things Mitch Trubisky did do right yesterday, a couple of mistakes still in his game, and I thought that that play just before halftime was one of the bigger ones, and you could tell a very animated Matt Nagy right afterwards, too. Not too pleased whatsoever with his quarterback, at least in the moment after that play.
Yeah, I thought, you know, two big mistakes in the game, that being one of them, of course, the interception being the other. And what was weird about it, Shep, is that you rewind to last week, it would have been last week. And his touchdown, his rushing touchdown off the designed quarterback keeper, where he emphatically finishes that run, remembers, lowers his shoulder near the goal line to get in. And for a moment, I was kind of having deja vu, think he's going to do the exact same thing. Granted, he's not quite at the goal line yet, but at least, you know, within striking distance of the sticks. And I thought he was going to kind of seek out contact and go and get it. Decided not to, said it was trying to trust his instincts. That, to me, I don't know. I mean, his run instincts, I think, tend to be pretty decent, actually, better than kind of his passing and pocket instincts anyway, if that makes sense. But, you know, like you said, it in the end, it didn't matter. And as I said, in my opinion, he made two big mistakes in the game. Neither of them ended up killing him and the Bears. And largely, he played really well. And I think that should be where the focus is today.
Yeah, and I thought the second half, it's you're looking at, sure, he makes the mistake. He throws the ball late on the interception on the first drive of the second half. It's the first time in five games. Bears had a five-game stretch of scoring, first possession out of halftime. And that streak ended yesterday with the interception he threw. He only threw one more incompletion the entire rest of the game. And that was a ball that was well thrown to Allen Robinson that happened to be dropped. Like, that was, I get it, and we can say it all day, all morning, all day, all afternoon long. Oh, it's just against the Lions. It doesn't count. I mean, it's still an NFL team.
Right.
It's still, those guys are getting big-time paychecks to be out there as well, and he performed. And I'm not making any grand conclusion to Mitch Trubisky after yesterday's game. Trust me on that. It doesn't sell me on, oh, yeah, he's definitely, you can go into him and feel good about it in 2020. Whatever the case, no, that's not what I'm saying on this. It's just if you're going to sit here and you're going to dwell on every little thing that he does wrong, and trust me, there have been plenty, little things, big things that he's done wrong and done poorly throughout the last 2 years, and this year specifically, but you have to take these and say, all right, yeah, it might just be the Giants, it might just be the lowly Lions, but he performed against them, So it's if we're going to sit here and ridicule him when he doesn't, then he is at least worthy of some praise when he does in the second half yesterday, as well as he's looked all season long.
Absolutely. It was Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy who said back in Decatur, actually, before training camp, we're looking for...
Very convenient place for the the start of the season press conference,
it was a
right?
pleasant final Sunday, spent at home with the... Oh, wait, no, it wasn't that before training camp started. No, just kidding. Or am I kidding? I don't know. anyway... It was Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy who said, and they took a lot of heat for it, we're looking for quote-unquote incremental improvement from Mitch Trubisky. They didn't say, you know, depending on the opponent or depending on the circumstances, they wanted incremental improvement. And while we were seeing more than incremental regression through the first part of this season, there are a few, however much you want to believe them, whether they're mirages or whatever, signs, they've been there in recent weeks. And if nothing else, if again, we've said this already, if you know he's going to be back next year, and if you know you have at least a little something to play here for down the stretch, then you want him building that confidence. I think Eric Edholm put that correctly when we had him on last hour as well. And his confidence right now has to be, I would think, at a high point for this season.
Yeah, at least in terms of this season, because that's his two best games that he's played here back-to-back that you've seen from that, from Mitch Trubisky anyway. I don't know. I haven't looked ahead and seen what the number is in terms of a point total for the Bears and Cowboys. It might not even be listed quite yet without this week's games being done. But just blindly, I'm willing to take the under in next week's Bears-Cowboys game. Just based off of watching that Cowboys game, a team a time yesterday and seeing them the last few weeks, I've had the 3 o'clock game against the Patriots the week before that most of the national audience got. I am willing to blindly go and just say I'm taking the under as long as it's like under 21 points.
Yeah.
Like it just seems like two offenses that I know that it was a great step yesterday that the Bears took, but playing against a real defense in Dallas next week and then having their obvious issues that they've had and then Dallas having their offensive issues that they've had throughout this year as well. I don't feel good about a whole lot of points being scored on a Thursday evening at Soldier Field next week.
Yeah, and right, a Thursday evening to boot. I think that makes sense. Remember, the Cowboys have not really enjoyed playing here late in the season at Soldier Field in the past few years, so that's a potential factor, too. We mentioned certainly people are going to be have their antenna up for whether the Cowboys are playing for Jason Garrett as his seat continues to, you know, heat up. And there will be a lot of elements as far as that goes. And it's going to be interesting, if nothing else. Let's not forget, I mean, now the Patriots and the Bills back to back, too. The Cowboys have already seen a couple of good defenses.
Sure.
But Buffalo's good. I mean, maybe we should be talking more about the Buffalo Bills by now. Nine wins. They're going to have a winning season. Josh Allen's development has been extremely impressive in year two. He was the Mitch Trubisky lightning rod of last year's draft, recall, and he's really done well under Brian Daboll there. So, but yeah, when you talk Patriots, Bills, and then Bears back to back to back, that what was the NFL's number one offense, at least, is certainly getting tested now.
Yeah, the Bills thing's interesting, too. I mean, you look at it, and it feels like you kind of have to take it. It's nice, but as long as the Patriots are still in that division, it just feels like it's almost, I don't want to say it's not an accomplishment. Being 9-3 is surely an accomplishment, especially for a team that's seen so little winning like the Bills have seen here in recent years. I know they went to the playoffs, was it 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
And I don't know if they scored. I know they didn't get in the end zone against Jacksonville, but
that Blake Bortles was a Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod Taylor,
that
yeah.
That was a QB duel for the ages.
My goodness. I think it was 7-3 was the final, if I remember correctly. That was just a holy gosh. To quote Wayne Larrivee from years ago, it was a tough one. But hey, the Bills they've been doing things at least seemingly right from afar.
Right,
have a team that's 9-3 right now, and Josh Allen, that's a quarterback that's developing, unlike what you've necessarily seen here, at least at a large degree.
And to your point earlier, Shep, we were talking about the Ravens and John Harbaugh and his ability to delegate, and you know how some of the success Lamar is experiencing certainly has been from the coordinator change to Greg Roman, having the quarterback coach there in James Urban. Well, the Bills are led by another defensive-minded coach. I know John Harbaugh's special teams, but my point being, Sean McDermott, I think, can coach, and he's from that Andy Reid tree. Oh, yeah, so is John Harbaugh. That tree is pretty impressive, but I mention it because that's another instance where Sean McDermott was, you know, comfortable enough in his own skin and kind of just gave the offensive, you know, kind of the reins to the offense there to Brian Daboll. And look what's happening when a head coach can take a step back and let things happen and focus on his own side of the ball. You can see some pretty good things. Maybe that's in the future here in Chicago. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, well, that's the thing that always just kind of bothers me with this idea of, and I'm not saying the Bears need to have a coaching change. Am I impressed with Matt Nagy this year? Not terribly so, at least compared to a year ago. But I'm not like calling for the guy's job at this point or anything like that. But it just is when you do have these coaching changes anymore, and so much of it is, oh, you have to link a great a young quarterback to a great young offensive mind. Rinse, repeat. Whether it's Cliff Kingsbury, I think, is the prime, perfect example of how that kind of works in the NFL. But there's plenty of those cases of young, offensive-minded head coach, whether it's what Green Bay, I mean, I know it's not a young quarterback in Green Bay, but what they just did with their head coaching search, it's rinse and repeat, hiring after hiring, and that's the idea, and that's what's going to be successful. And it's just get the guy that knows how to kind of assemble a staff, get the guy that knows how to listen, maybe most importantly of all, listen and be open-minded to ideas,
right?
Be able to bring more minds into that room, and what are you going to do offensively, what are you going to do defensively, and kind of sort that out, and you're seeing success for it across the league. It's not surprising. It's like, oh yeah, Bill Belichick, well, he has Tom Brady. He's not. He's more of an offensive guy than you think. Well, he had his coming ups in the NFL was all defensive, that those Giants teams that he was in charge of there too. So it's just one of those, it's not just a black and white of it has to be this. No, it can be many different things as long as you can be successful and you show that way. There's plenty of coaches in the NFL that are kind of going about it that way. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number to call. Text messages welcome as well, 67011. This segment brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. The Wildcats host number 3 Michigan State on Wednesday, December 18th at 7 p.m. at the new Welsh Ryan Arena. Buy tickets now, nusports.com. 312-644-6767, the telephone number to call. Text messages welcome as always. 67011 is where you go to get those with you. As we recap yesterday's Bears and Lions game, 24-20, the Bears get the win there. And they welcome the Dallas Cowboys next week, next Thursday night, actually, in prime time, as they'll be taking on this Cowboys team. And both teams sit at 6-6, and it's just amazing how much different it feels. Do you think that it's a Cowboys team that, how likely is it to be the quitting on a coach type of thing when you are still in playoff contention?
Right,
because it's like if you're 6-6 and you're getting fired, and your division leader's at 10-2, it's a different story. But how much of that is there a factor? Do you think, or do you buy into with it still being all right? There's still an accomplishment here to be had. You're not going to be a favorite in the NFC, but you can still be a division champion and at least have a seat at the table.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think maybe that would be a week or two premature if the Cowboys, again, we don't think a 10-6 team's going to get in the playoffs, but a 9-7 team ain't getting in. So one more loss, and maybe that's where you would look for it a little bit more. We had asked when we had Ed Holm on from Yahoo Sports just whether this was kind of playing out the string with Garrett, because what else are you going to do? I can see that, but I will say I think Chris Richard is pretty highly thought of around the league. He is their, you know, the pass game coordinator and kind of Rod Marinelli's right hand man, but I think he's had a big role in kind of the play calling there. So it's not that I don't think they have a capable interim or even two. Of course, Marinelli, a former head coach that didn't go so well, but at least has the experience. So yeah, but true. There won't be any quitting. Both teams should be desperate Thursday night, and it should, you know, I think should bring out the best in them. And two talented teams, again, two reigning division champs with no shortage of talent and no shortage of expectations coming into this season. So maybe not quit, but we'll see kind of maybe who has the most pride in this one.
Found myself thinking about this yesterday, and he was good in the passing game, kind of like he's been a large part of his career. Rush game always leaves a lot to be desired for me, at least with him. And I have this idea of maybe it's because he's unique and he's the small guy that you can't help but root for, and he seems like a great kid off of the field, but where are you kind of at Tariq Cohen at this point in his career with the Chicago Bears? Because it's just kind of a returner-wise, he's shown flashes there. Passing game-wise, I guess there's flashes there at times. But it's just, it seems like to me, oh, he's going in motion, he's getting the ball, and it's a dead giveaway anytime he goes in motion. And I find myself of the way they've tried to kind of put him in this offense or utilize him in this offense, that the concept of him is great, mm-hmm. and the idea of Tariq Cohen is, oh yeah, you get the speedy little guy that's hard to catch, and that's awesome. But then the execution of it is just, it leaves so much to be desired with me. I don't know where I kind of stand on him right now.
Yeah, well, he's, like so many of these Bears, has taken a step back this year, certainly. I mean, he had established himself, of course, as a first-team All-Pro punt returner last year, but also one of the more reliable, if not explosive, receiving backs in football. That hasn't happened this year. I think Matt Nagy has kind of struggled to carve out specific roles between him and Montgomery, knowing he wants them both to get the football a bunch, and that's kind of maybe taken... Well, not maybe. That certainly has taken longer than Bears fans would like to see. But I still think he's pretty dynamic talent and can be a useful piece in an offense that just consistently has a clue, kind of unlike this one thus far. But the punt returning has not been as good. There have been more questionable decisions: when to fair catch, when to be running, you know, east and west versus north and south. So that part hasn't been quite as good. Although I think the Bears are still up near the top of the league in punt return yardage. So yeah, it'll be interesting. I'll tell you what, we're going to find out exactly what the Bears think of him. He'll first be eligible for a contract extension, this off season, along with Eddie Jackson, two guys who's not contract years per se, but first eligible, on the heels of the first eligible off season to get paid. Things obviously haven't really gone exactly according to plan for either one. But I'm an advocate. If you have decided these are your dudes, then you try and get to them early and you'll end up saving money down the road. So really intrigued to see how they would handle negotiations with both of those guys. They'll be complicated, especially with Tariq Cohen, who I'm sure, even coming off a disappointing season, is going to make the argument, hey, I want to be paid like a wide receiver. That's kind of what my role is more than anything.
That's Arthur Arkish. I'm Nick Shepkowski. We have to pause for a timeout. 312-644-6767, your number as always to call. We'll check in with Mark Potash from the Chicago Sun-Times on these Bears next on The Score.
Bunch sent left and Cohen in motion. Snap, Trubisky throws the slant right. Robinson's in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Bears! A well-executed drive puts the Bears in front. 10 yards on the touchdown to Allen Robinson, his fifth of the year. And how about that, a first quarter touchdown for the Bears in the lead?
You look at his numbers, I think he ended up with about 9 incompletions. And so throughout the game, our wide receivers felt really comfortable. Now, all that said, this was also a game where, now, we were calling the runs, we were getting almost 5 yards a run. And there was a couple that were called back for different reasons. I thought we were a little sloppy across the board as a team with penalties today, mm-hmm. which we want to clean that up. But today felt like a good game where we were able to finally get that offense going, really, for 4 quarters. And guys, as you know, I mean, how good does it start, or how good does it feel to start off with a touchdown to start the game? I mean, we needed that, and I think we had a little lull then, but we fought back, and in the second half played a lot better, so that was good.
Yeah, I get the same. Starting a game with an offensive touchdown, better than not starting a game with an offensive touchdown. I'm tired. I'm a little worn out from Thanksgiving and getting up early today, but my mind is still working at a high enough level to realize that, yeah, probably scoring instead of not scoring, most likely a good thing.
You'd like to avoid the string of three and outs thereafter, but at least that was more what we're accustomed to seeing.
And so, I don't know if I would quite agree with the 4 quarters of good offense. It seemed like there was a pretty large gap there. The second quarter especially, I know that ended with a field goal before halftime, but I don't know if I'd put that one in the win column for in terms of offensive productivity, but whatever. I digress. They won. They're 6-6. They're still technically alive, and I'll worry about being eliminated from the postseason when it actually does get to that point. It's Nick Shepkowski and Arthur Arkish with you up until 9 o'clock today. That's when Julie DeCaro and Peggy Kaczynski are going to be here. But for more on the Bears and their 24-20 win over the Detroit Lions yesterday on Thanksgiving, we go back out to the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. That's where we find Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times. Mark, good morning. Thank you for your time.
Sure thing. How you guys doing?
Good. All good on all fronts here. What is your grand takeaway? The Bears now sit at 6-6 with Dallas coming for a showdown on Thursday. What's your grand takeaway from the comeback victory led by Mitch Trubisky yesterday?
Well, I think the Bears are getting really good at beating the Lions.
Got to start somewhere.
And to me, that's the story. They're, you know, Mitch Trubisky is good. It's a great matchup for him. It's a great matchup for their offense, but they still have to prove they can do it against a better defense. And this game coming up here, I think, is everything as far as where the Bears are kind of headed, because it's an opportunity for this offense and Trubisky in particular to do it against a better offense, because it's great that you're good against bad defenses, but you still have to do it against better defenses than that, and you got to be good then, and that's what they still have to prove.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They, arguably beat a decent defense early in the season in Denver, but that was largely on the strength of their run game and, Matt Nagy's commitment to it in that game. But yeah, I agree with you. I had to kind of chuckle, Mark, because one of the first things that Shep said when I came in this morning is appreciative for Matt Patricia's stubbornness with the man defense. And I thought back to our conversation yesterday, and one of the first things you had said to me as we were kind of chatting outside the visitors' locker room getting ready to go interview those guys is just, what is with this inability to, I guess we've seen some of it here on the offensive side of the ball, but an inability to or an unwillingness to adapt your scheme a little bit and try and give your team the best chance to win.
Yeah, that really is strange. I kind of don't get that. That was a point, I think, the last time when the Bears really didn't gain a lot of yards against the Lions at Soldier Field, but they got the matchups they wanted. I mean, Ben Bronecker, they got man-to-man matchups, and it's always Trubisky just seems like he really likes man-to-man matchups. Like you say, usually that's not good. Usually that's really good players, that the Bears can't beat. But against the Lions, you've got Darius Slay can only cover one guy, and I guess I got to give the Bears credit for that. They put Slay on Allen Robinson or wherever, but that still left Anthony Miller on a lesser cornerback, and the Bears at least took advantage of that. But yeah, it is a little mystifying to me why I maybe they can't change up. I don't know. Maybe it's like Bobby Knight playing zone defense. It just can't happen. But anyway, yeah, no, I guess that's kind of the point of the whole thing, is it's the Bears Lions is a great matchup. So I'm sorry to pour cold water on a victory, but just having seen the Bears the last couple of years under Nagy against Patricia, it just seems like that's their one matchup that is really good. So I don't think it really says anything as far as where they're heading. I think this was the better game. I think there were some positive signs as far as Trubisky, going through progressions, kind of connecting and adjusting on the fly with Miller on a really key third down play. I thought that was good, but you still have to do it against a better defense. So we'll see. So I guess it was small progress. It was progress, but we'll see what happens next week.
I guess I'd be curious, like with Matt Patricia, what his mentor and Bill Belichick would think, a man who has won, six Super Bowls, eight Super Bowls if you count the Giants ones, with pretty much taking advantage of whatever the offense or defense is going to give you and playing into that and adjusting yourself week to week. It's Matt Patricia, just yesterday, it was like that just could not be the case, and have to live by this, have to die by this, and ultimately lost that game with it. This segment brought to you by Amazon. So when I kind of look at this Bears offense, a guy I thought that took a big step, is there more to be seen there? Because it's the first time we've really seen him do it in Anthony Miller and performing on the stage like he did yesterday?
Oh, I think he's one of the key factors as far as he's a player, I think, even more than Trubisky, who can be good against better defenses. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this guy's a really talented player. He really knows how to get the ball. You saw that. He can win those one-on-one battles, and I think he can do that against better players. And I think he's just, he's got to get right. He needs more experience or whatever, but I think he definitely has the potential. So yeah, I think that's a big step.
I think part, Mark, of what has people excited this morning, obviously the Bears improved to 4-0 versus Matt Patricia's Lions, but they're also currently 3-0 versus Mike Zimmer's Vikings under Matt Nagy, which seems a little bit harder to believe, obviously. But and granted, that's still a long ways out, and they're not in a position to be looking ahead. But I think some of the success that Matt Nagy's had in the division, and just the fact that they've been able to keep this thing alive, is what has people excited, and with good reason. But let me ask you, Mark, because I am curious. I don't know if I'm going to make it out to Hellas on time today, but I know you're always in the front row and you always have your questions loaded up for Matt Nagy. They always make these press conferences so awesome. What's at the top of your list as far as what you want to hear from Matt Nagy today, coming off a win, albeit still kind of a sloppy one, especially more so early than late?
I haven't really thought about it. I'd be curious what indications he saw yesterday that indicates they can do this against a team like the Cowboys.
Right.
And there were some, there's no doubt I'll have good answers for that, because there were some things, like I said, there were some things they did even relative to the opponent that I think were really positive steps. I thought one thing, not to get too far off point, but I thought one factor that was really good was the offensive line, which, to me, the offensive line is even more important than Trubisky looking long-term, because that and between that and Matt Nagy, those are two things that they can't really change in 2020 or look for options. The offensive line, that's what you're going to get. Unless something really drastic happens, that's going to be there. They have not had a very good year. Matt Nagy has not had a very good year, conception-wise, of the offense and play calling, and he's going to, that's not going to change. Trubisky, you can at least bring in somebody to push him or whatever. You have some options there. The offensive line, I thought, played a really good game, gave him a lot of time. Sometimes he didn't do much with it, but I thought their running game was better. I just thought that was a good sign. I think that's the key to almost everything the Bears do. I think that's the biggest disappointment, I think, based on relative to what I thought. That fooled me the most. When I go back and look, where did I go wrong in analyzing this team? I think I expected much more from the offensive line, and they were probably not as good as I thought last year. Right. And so I think that – so what I saw yesterday, I think, was at least probably the best positive, I think.
Good. Yeah, no, that's absolutely – I couldn't agree more. And what's kind of ironic to me is actually it's easy to forget, but, Bobby Massey not playing and Cornelius Lucas for the second time this season has stepped in and played pretty well. And I only say it's ironic because if there's one guy we were so worried about, one position we were so worried about throughout training camp, I think it was that swing tackle spot and not getting a lot of reassurances from what we were seeing from Cornelius Lucas. And he's quietly stepped in and played pretty well, I think. And they did it largely, I know they had J.P. Holtz out there, but it's not like they were asking Jesper Horsted to do a whole lot of blocking. So to consider what they did, albeit against a bad Detroit Lions pass rush, shorthanded especially, I think is an encouraging sign.
Well, look, and again, not to look too far ahead, but looking ahead to 2020, that's one area where they really have to self-upgrade. And I thought one of the more interesting moves they made this year that didn't get a lot of play was, for a team that wants to win now, they chose to play a developing player in Rashad Coward over more of a sure thing in Ted Larson, which normally is what you would do. You'd put in the guy you know can do the job.
Right.
And usually it's almost the opposite. Usually we're trying to get them to play the developing player, like for the future or whatever, and they play the sure thing. This was the opposite. And I think Coward has actually done pretty well. I think he's kind of justified their faith in him. A little bit, and that's another potential upgrade over what they started with this year, with Kyle Long just not being as effective, as an injured player.
I know everything kind of comes with a caveat. It's the Lions, it's this, it's that. I mean, how much can we really take with Snacks Harrison not playing yesterday for Detroit?
Well, I think that's a fact. There's no doubt that's a factor. I mean, because he's one of those guys who makes an impact on every play, whether he makes a play or not. So yeah, and that goes back again to, can they do it against a better defensive front, that could put more pressure on you? So yeah, that there's no doubt that had an effect, on the Bears offensive line or the Bears protection being as good as it was.
Yeah, and the Cowboys pass rush wasn't able to do much against just a so-so Bills O-line yesterday, but those guys off the edges and DeMarcus Lawrence and Robert Quinn will certainly test, whether it's Bobby Massey or Cornelius Lucas, definitely Charles Leno next week, as soon as next week, without question.
Arthur, a great litmus test, I think, for the Bears coming off of that game. Look what, Buffalo's offense, not great, but they do run the ball. The one thing they do is they run the ball, and they were actually able to be effective against a pretty good defense.
Right.
You know, the Bears, the quarterback, the offense, not that much different, really, as far as effectiveness, general effectiveness. Let's see how the Bears do at home against the same Cowboys team. I think you'll get a real good indication of not only where they are, but kind of where they're headed.
Yeah, great point. Potsy, before we let you go here, and we really do appreciate the time, I just want to ask you quickly about Jesper Horsted. I know you had a chance to visit with him a little bit this week before his coming out party, as you know, only his second career catch goes for a touchdown. Small sample size, no doubt about it, but I think we have seen some natural ability, receiving ability here. How sweet would it be if they did find something in Horsted, the undrafted rookie out of Princeton, especially at that position where Ryan Pace has just swung and missed repeatedly?
Yeah, I think that would be a huge key because he's, to me at least, he looks like a player who Nagy's offense at full throttle, if it ends up being like what you see in Philly. And I mean, those are good tight ends in Philly and KC, but the offense makes those guys too to an even larger extent than you might think. You know, they're not. You know, Kelce is not Gronkowski without the Kansas City offense. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I think the Nagy offense, if it ever gets to full throttle, it will make certain players better than they are. And Horsted, I think, looks like, just based on what we've seen, like you said, small sample size, looks like he could be one of those players. I'll be honest, I still think they've got to redo that position at the very top. They've got to splurge again and make sure they get that right because it's such a key to that offense. They are operating with one hand behind tied behind their back, Nagy is, without being able to – I don't think he would admit that, but I think if you look at the history of the tight end in that offense, he is operating with one hand tied behind his back without really having a useful, productive, consistent tight end that you can count on. So, yeah, Horsted, I think, is a guy who could – you know, he could be maybe that Trey Burton guy, you know, the complimentary guy, but I still think you got to go out and find, splurge to make sure you get that position right for next season.
Mark, appreciate you taking the time this morning. Enjoy what's left of your Thanksgiving weekend, and we'll be checking out in the Sun Times.
Okay, same to you guys. Thanks for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
Thanks Mark. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. Mark Potash from the Chicago Sun-Times, kind enough to join us here on this Friday morning. And it just makes it an interesting kind of thing where your mind goes off of all of this and thinking of what the needs are. That some Bears fans out there will say, all right, picking in the second round, maybe there's a Kyler Murray, not a Kyler Murray, but maybe there's Jalen Hurts
yeah.
is there
right.
from Oklahoma, not as highly regarded prospect in the NFL draft. Maybe he'll be there in the second round.
Yep.
I can't help but think, like, because of how important, kind of like what Mark was talking about there, because of how vital it is to have a competent tight end in this offense for this to work, and you've seen what it's been without one. Like, I can't help but think, all right, yeah, I'm going to have trouble not being excited if it's not a tight end that's called there in the second round when the Bears pick coming up in April. But, God, we have all offseason to dissect that and break all that down as well. We'll take your telephone calls, 312-644-6767 on anything Bears-Lions related before we transition with Julie DeCaro and Peggy Kaczynski. That's all coming up. It's Nick Szczepkowski and Arthur Arkishin on a Bears Monday on a Friday, a Built for Tough Bears Monday on a Friday on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Nick Szczepkowski and Arthur Arkish on 670 The Score.
Two you have. We're in for Mullion Hall this morning up until 9 o'clock. Julie DeCaro and Peggy Kaczynski coming up. We will transition with them momentarily. It's Nick Szczepkowski and Arthur Arkish. Still a few more minutes, and if you've been waiting on hold, we'll take some of your telephone calls now. If you want to chime in before we're done here at the top of the hour, get in line, 312-644-6767. As we continue to react to the Bears beating the Lions yesterday, what grand takeaways are there? Don't know if there's any grand takeaways, but there's still fun to be had with it. Waiting on a while now in Lafayette, it's been Wayne. We go down I-65 and check in with Wayne on the Score. What's up, Wayne? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Nick, old buddy. How are you? And congratulations on your new arrival. And Arthur Arkish, good to talk to you guys.
Good hey, to talk to you. Thanks.
I told Joe Ostrowski the other night, I told him about David Blough. I said, buddy, I said, if they don't put a rush on him, that man can pass the ball. He's the one who was Purdue's quarterback when they beat Ohio State. And he's had several 400-yard passing games. And He didn't even get drafted. We need to send the Bears need to send some people down to Purdue. It's not very far down the road, and they got people just right down the road to be looking at, Nick. You know what I'm saying? There's some good people down there. And there's not a lot of great ones, but sometimes there's a few good ones come through there. I sure would like to see David Blau as our backup quarterback, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't know about him as a backup quarterback. I will say that Rondell Moore, once he gets healthy and once he's draft eligible, I don't know what he's going to be as a pro, but I've already missed on the Lamar Jackson thing. I'll gladly take him as a Chicago Bear because it's just plug him and figure out how to play him. That's the Purdue guy that I want to see. Actually, the tight end, too.
And David Bell, their freshman wide receiver, he's got four straight Big Ten Freshman of the Week awards going on right now. He's going to be an absolute monster as well.
Yeah, they've recruited Purdue extremely well here in recent years, even if the wins aren't so much there this year. There's your Purdue scouting report, though. I know that's what you tuned in for.
That was pretty good. I'm impressed. I will say the Lions gave up some draft capital, not much. I think it was the rare seventh round pick swap, future pick swap. Mm-hmm. But that indicates, and especially on the heels of yesterday's performance, which again, I thought all things considered was about as well as you could expect from him. He may be in their plans as a long-term backup.
At least as a part, yeah, as part of your...
Oh, yeah, not as the heir to Stafford or anything. Let's not get carried away.
At least not yet.
He can sling it a little bit. He's got a good arm, it looked like, to me.
I mean, of the backup quarterbacks that we've seen, yeah, you've had some great success stories.
It's the year of the backup quarterback,
right? Yeah, it really has been.
Yep.
I don't know if that he's going to go quite on the mustache crusade like we saw in some cases this year. But, hey, it was a nice outing, especially on an emergency start and a guy that was... not seen as a, oh, wow, you're playing a third-string quarterback, emergency start. Didn't see a 14-7 start quite like that to happening against the Bears. Drew's been waiting in Kenosha. He's next up on the score this morning. Good morning, Drew. What's up?
Good morning. Yeah, I was in the middle of cooking and helping my wife yesterday and totally forgot about checking back on the score. When I turned back and I saw what happened, I was like, what? And it was like, it was so crazy. And then it got me so excited. I tweeted Mr. Trubisky myself, like, dude, you my quarterback. and it was like just that one game, just looking at them, it confirmed a lot of what I was thinking about him and that team already. It's like, just let them go.
Drew, how much of the time were you prepping your Thanksgiving dinner, did you say, yesterday, compared to how much time you watched the game?
You know what? I turned the game on, like, around the time, like, pregame. And it was too much talking, so I just went away from it to, you know, say, help my wife out. Before I knew anything, it was like the game was almost over, and I ran to the TV, and I'm like, I just looked at all the stuff that had happened throughout the game, and I was like, man, like, I was tripping.
I was going to say, because if you're fully on board back with the Mitch Trubisky train after that, I would say you were probably tripping.
More than tryptophan. Yeah.
Right. No, man, it's like, I understand when I hear people say certain stuff about the kids, but at the same time, it's like, I've been waiting to see what Ryan Pace saw. I don't think he's an idiot. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, he obviously saw something in this kid that everybody else didn't. And I see flashes of that every now and again because, like, when I see him sling that ball and he's just doing his thing, he can play the sport. It's just for whatever reason, it's like I feel like somebody there is, like, holding him back from just being himself.
Appreciate the telephone call there, Drew. I don't know if that's what it is. I don't know if it's just Mitch Trubisky and maybe having some self-doubt in and of itself. But whatever it is, it has left a lot to be desired, and that's not to say that he didn't have a fantastic second half yesterday, especially after the interception. We have to pause for a timeout. The opening bell, S&P, Dow, NASDAQ all slightly down early this morning. It's brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto, where you get $200 off any four tires at CarX. And this segment being brought to you by Aloha Restoration, restoring your home to pre-disaster condition. We pause for a timeout. We welcome in Julie DeCaro and Peggy Kaczynski next on 670 The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.